For the lesson, I'm going to read from Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort for his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used as his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death at the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
We certainly are appreciative of the attendance that we have today. I believe we only have two visitors with us. One young lady visits with us quite often, so we don't consider her a visitor anymore. But we have a local visitor. We're certainly delighted that she is here. We also have a visitor from way up north. I think he said up in the Dallas area somewhere. We're delighted that he is here. He is hoping, he's working in the area, but he's hoping to go home, so he won't. We won't see him again, but he's working here for insurance company. So we're very appreciative of that. When I first made myself some notes, I said I want to give a personal invitation to the gospel meeting. But as I thought about it, I want to change that word invitation to the word encouragement. I want to give a personal encouragement to everyone concerning our gospel meeting. We have had Freddie for several years now. He does an excellent job. He will not offend us or anyone who we might bring, but he will preach the truth in its power and in its simplicity. He will also preach in a style that is very unique to Freddie and very enjoyable to all of us. So first of all, I encourage you to invite your family and friends and neighbors to attend the gospel meeting. As Barry said, there are some flyers on the back. We'll get some more printed this afternoon. There'll be even more there tonight. But I encourage you to invite those. Second of all, though, I encourage this congregation to be here. Brethren, I've been here for 17 years. I believe I can say things without being offensive. Our personal attendance, our congregational attendance for our gospel meetings has fallen way off. The gospel meetings are designed for those who are looking for Christ and looking for the church, but our gospel meetings are also designed to encourage our members. So I encourage you to bring visitors. I encourage you, if at all possible, to clear your calendar and be here for this gospel meeting. Next Sunday, we will be having a fellowship dinner. I hope that everyone will plan on staying that. It just looks good to our visitors when we join them for lunch. And then Tuesday, we're going to have what I believe is one of the special days in our calendar when we recognize our first responders. If you would like to help in this, if you'll see Sherry Radislaw, we'll be serving our first responders. We've already made personal invitations to them. We had quite a few last year. We're looking for a lot more this year in attendance. It is a very, very Christ-like way of letting our first responders know how much we appreciate them. And it also maybe will give them an opportunity to think about coming to church here in the future. I also need to encourage you to read about Jonah. Read the story of Jonah this afternoon. We're going to be looking at him. We will not take the time or have the time to discuss and read all of it. So some of the things I'm just going to call upon your memory from the story. So reread, rehearse the story of Jonah this afternoon and be ready for that study tonight. Brethren, has anyone ever asked you to change your mind? Now, it's kind of a silly question, isn't it? We get asked to change our mind all the time. Quite often, I will lay my suit and my shirt and my socks and my tie out in the winter when I do wear a tie. And Linda will come in and say, "Do you mind changing your mind with that particular tie? It just doesn't go with that shirt and that suit." And I certainly don't mind changing my mind. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not so easy. Or maybe your son asks you, "Daddy, can I have a dog?" And you say, "Well, you know, I had a dog when I was growing up. I think it's a good idea if you have a dog. Let's go down to the pound and we'll select one of those rescue dogs and we'll have our family dog." And when he goes and looks at all the dogs, he chooses a 180-pound Rottweiler. And you say, "Son, do you think you might change your mind? Maybe a terrier would be more apropos for our family." So he would change his mind. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it is not so easy. I heard a story one time about a particular man that needed to change his mind. He emailed his former fiancée. And he said, "Susan, I'm so sad that I broke up with you. I don't know what got into me. I love you with all of my heart. Please take me back. Let's rekindle our love. Let's get married. Let's live happily ever after." And he said, "P.S., congratulations on winning the lottery." Brethren, everyone has been asked from time to time to change our mind. There's nothing difficult about that. Now, the truth of the matter is, in the passage that Alan read a moment ago, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, that's what God is asking the church in Philippi to do, to change their mind, to change their attitude, to make the needed changes so that any potential problem that they might be facing will be abated. In other words, to change their mind. Now, I hope some of you at least have your testament or have your device open to the second chapter of Philippians. If you'll notice those first few verses, it almost sounds poetic. He introduces four different ideas with the word "if." He says, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if you have any comfort in Jesus' love, if you have fellowship with the Spirit, if you have tenderness and kindness, then he says, make my joy complete by being like-minded. But he doesn't stop there. Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, having the same spirit, having the same mind. I read Brother David Lipscomb's commentary on Philippians that he wrote for the Gospel Advocate commentary series. And he made a very, very interesting thought, and I agree with him completely. He said, though Paul is writing these things in question form, he's really not asking a question. He's making a statement. So though the Bible does read in question form, if, and if, Brother Lipscomb says really it could also read since. He's not asking them if they have these things, but since they have these things, since they have encouragement by being united with Christ, and since they have comfort in His love, and since they have fellowship in the Spirit, and since they have tenderness and compassion, then make His joy complete by avoiding anything, staying away from anything that potentially could cause congregational problems. Yes, he says, if you do, but we might say, since we do. Since we have those feelings then the teaching is still the same. We need to make God complete by being like-minded. Of course, He is complete. We as a congregation need to be complete by being like-minded. Now, I've singled out a couple of visitors, but the rest of us, I think, are all of this congregation. Don't you agree we are encouraged because we're united in Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Don't you agree that we all are comforted by the love that Jesus shows to us and through us? Well, of course we are. Don't you agree that we have fellowship with God through the teaching of the Holy Spirit? Of course we do. We are tender and we are compassionate. Yes, we certainly are. For that reason, Paul would tell us, the Bible tells us, we need to be like-minded. Now, being like-minded, listen closely, does not mean we'll see everything exactly the same. If you're married, you know your family might be like-minded, but you and your spouse don't see everything exactly the same. But what Paul is saying is, since we are of the same purpose, to serve Jesus Christ, since we are of the same affection, the love we have in Him, since we share these emotions and the understanding of the teaching of the Bible, since we have all of that in common, and I'm paraphrasing here, I think Paul would tell us, since that is the case, then let's just don't get hung up on petty differences. I'm not talking about doctrinal differences. I'm talking about petty differences. Brethren, I have seen congregations that get so hung up on petty differences that they lose sight of the big picture. Brethren, we are the body of Jesus Christ. We are His church. We are His bride. He is our Father in that respect. Our Father's church in Jesus Christ. We need to realize who we are. That is the big picture. And as we share love for each other, and as we share compassion for each other, and tenderness and our understanding of the Spirit, we have to be of the same mind because, put an asterisk by this one in your mind, because that which unites us is greater than anything that might divide us. Talking about opinionated things. That which is in us, Jesus, His Word, His teaching, is greater than anything which divides us. I remember years ago when I attended church camp quite often, my favorite part of camp was singing the songs. I wish we still had a listing of all of those church songs, those camp songs, so that we could sing. One of them I want to call your attention to, I think is very appropriate for our lesson right now. It's based on John 13:35. That's where Jesus says, "By this love shall all men know that you're my disciples indeed, if you have love one to another." The song says, "We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord." And it says it again, we're one in the Spirit, we're one in the Lord, and we pray that all unity, that's talking about Acts 2, we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And then it says, they will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They'll know we are Christians by our love. There's another verse. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And it says it again. We'll work with each other. We'll work side by side. And we'll guard each one's dignity and save each one's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. That's what Jesus said in the verse I quoted a moment ago. It is our love that distinguishes us from the world. And that's why I believe with all of my heart that that which unites us is greater than anything which might divide us. And I'm talking about opinionated things. Now, brethren, this congregation, it's not if, it's since. Since we agree with what Paul said to the Philippians, since I feel strongly you agree with what's been said so far, then we also need to realize that there are always going to be efforts from without and even from within to cause us to be, to use the word, dysfunctional. And if we are dysfunctional, we're not accomplishing that which God wants us to accomplish. We need to see each other as family. We're not acquaintances. We're not friends. We're family. We are united in the body of Christ. We need to work hard to get along. We need to overlook these opinion stuff and work hard on the doctrine of Christ. We need to avoid conflict at all corners. We need to be quick repenters and quick forgivers, because we're the body of Christ. Jesus said, "I will build my church." He was thinking about us. We are the church that Jesus established. And they, the world, will know we're Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. But our text does not stop there. Paul also talks about humility. Verse 3 and 4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Brethren, see if you agree with this statement, and I feel that you will. True humility does not cause people to think less of us. In fact, I believe true humility causes people to think more of us. In fact, isn't true humility the golden rule being seen in us? Doing unto others as we want them to do unto us? Taking care of their needs? Because if the shoe were on the other foot, we would want people taking care of our needs. But humility has to be that star that stays above that teaching. In fact, humility is a constant theme in the New Testament. Let's share a few verses. Romans 12, verse 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:5. Clothe yourself in humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. And let's never forget that Jesus referred to himself as humble in Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek, humble, lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. In our text, Paul says, in your relationships with others, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Or as the King James says, let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. Finally, 2 Corinthians 8:9, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that we, through his poverty, might be rich. Brethren, Jesus humbled himself, and God exalted him for it. We hinted at that in class today. Jesus humbled himself. He left the very portals of glory to take upon himself human form, to take and become a human for us, so that he can understand what it's like to be human. Not to condone our weaknesses and sin, but to understand. The Hebrew penman says, Jesus was tempted in every way that you and I are, maybe even more than you and I are, yet he was able to stay above the sin. Brethren, that's the pattern the Bible gives us. If we humble ourselves, God will lift us up. God will exalt us. Now, in conclusion, let me paraphrase the rest of our text. Jesus was deity. Jesus was God, deity, God the Father. He is the very nature of deity. But he did not use his deity to his own advantage. Rather, he came as a servant. He came to serve and not to be served. He came as a human being. He accepted the privation and the feelings of humanity. He even accepted his death on the cross to save our souls. And because Jesus was willing to do that, though he prayed, "Father, if there is another way, let this cup pass from me." Since he accepted the cross, the Father's will, God exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow, heaven, earth, under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so I said all of that so I can ask you a question. Do you need to change your mind? Do you need to change your mind about the teaching of the New Testament? Do you need to change your mind about God's plan of salvation? Do you need to change your mind about your personal responsibility concerning obedience to God? Do you need to change your mind? The Bible word for that change is repentance. And Peter says that God wants all men everywhere to be saved, but he requires us to change, make the needed change. So if this morning you need to make that change, remember, Jesus died to give you this opportunity. This morning, if you need to make that change, remember, he wants to spend all eternity with you in heaven. If you need to make that needed change, the song number is number 885. If you need to, won't you come as we stand and as we sing this song?